Jeffrey Wands joins us next. Another door opens. Stick around. Jeffrey Wands has hosted his own radio show in New York for many years. He's also made many television appearances, most recently on A&E's Mediums, We See Dead People, Maury, and the Today Show. Jeffrey has come to understand that everyone has some psychic ability within them. These hidden abilities within us can enrich our lives and lives of others. In his very first work, his book, The Psychic in You, he would like you to embark on this journey with him and help you release the psychic in you. Here he is. Hey, Jeffrey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Welcome back to Coast, my friend. What have you been up to?
Just busy. Actually, getting ready on book three, which I'm just going to be starting. And I actually, believe it or not, did Extreme Makeover, the home edition that's going to air in January, which is kind of really interesting.
Now, that's different. What's the association there?
They had me come in because the house was haunted, and we kind of basically cleared the house so they could rip the house down and put a new house up.
I love it. Does it work?
Oh, it definitely worked. It's actually going to air January 6th, so it's the first time that they've ever, you know, gone in my direction on national TV like that, so it should be really interesting.
Would you say that's one of your specialties?
You know what? I always tease people. I always kid and say I'm a full-service psychic. I do just about everything. But it just happened to be that they did approach me on this, and it was really, really great because, you know, this isn't something common. It's not a common subject for them. And we had a great experience, and it really worked out great.
I love the title of your book, Another Door Opens. Tell me about that.
Well, basically, I always tell people, you know, that the other side always, on some level, wants to get in touch with us. And I've, you know, over my years of doing this, I always tell people there is no coincidence. And, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, we live in very uncertain times right now. And I find it to be, you know, doing my work, especially doing the medium stuff, a lot of people just don't get closure with, you know, people that they've loved and lost. And in the book, I describe, you know, different ways and how the other side makes contact. And, you know, even if you believe or you don't believe, I always tell people in that aspect that, you know, those souls find a way to make contact with us. That bond of love, that connection that's there runs very, very deep.
What do you see as you look into the future, Jeffrey, and how do you do your work in terms of predictions?
A lot of stuff with me comes like energy. I always tease people, but if you remember the movie Dead Zone,
yes.
You know, how Christopher Walken would touch something and it would come through. I get, like, you know, what I call hits or images, and that's exactly, you know, how I get stuff. It'll come either in a clairaudient way or either come through a picture, but it's just, you know, all different combinations. It never is the same to me. It comes in so many different ways.
That's a great movie. That's the one with Martin Sheen holding up the baby, right?
Yes, and then you see him on the cover of Time magazine.
There goes his political future.
Exactly.
Let's talk about some various things. I like to talk in terms of closeness first. So 2008, what do you see for the country overall?
Well, I think that this is 2008 is going to, you know, this is definitely going to be a time where we go through a lot of bumps. And I think, you know, between the economy and between the direction of the world, I mean, this is going to be a kind of a very choppy year. I would describe it kind of being out in, you know, the ocean and hitting some massive waves. But I think that, you know, we're going to go through, like, what I always like to say is like a new consciousness. And I think that consciousness is going to make us more echo-oriented and definitely, hopefully, more peace-oriented. So I think, you know, it's going to get a lot better in 2008. I just don't think 2008 is going to start out great.
You know, we're into these foreclosures in record numbers now. The dollar is being devalued. Are we going to pull out of it eventually?
Oh, I think it's going to be better by the late spring, but I just think, you know, right now it's like buckle down and, you know, get in the hatches and put the, you know, it's kind of just expect the worst right now because this is going to be that time frame. But I think May things are going to start looking up.
Any home runs in the medical field?
I think that, you know, especially with cancer and that direction, I think that we're going to continue to really make some big roads. And I think something big is going to happen towards the end of 2008. In regards to HIV.
Now, when you say something big in terms of possible cures, to me that's
big. I think of like a major drug breakthrough that's going to, you know, really be the thing that should kind of hopefully cut that in half.
Presidential election.
You know what?
Lots going on.
That's a hard one for me because personally, I don't have a great feeling with anybody there. So I keep, you know, closing my eyes, hoping that somebody else is going to emerge. But I don't think we're at a point yet where we get a woman in the White House yet. I think it's going to get a little testy and a little crazy. But I think somebody is still going to emerge that isn't there yet.
You really do? On what party?
Yeah. I think actually on the Republican end, and a lot of it's going to have to tie into the world events. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to go hit some more shaky parts with terrorism and some other things of that nature. I think that's going to be the real turning point.
So you're going to predict what party will win?
No, because you know what? It's not my specialty, but, you know, I just hope somebody good, because I think we definitely, unfortunately, are in a time where we need a change.
Well, absolutely. Now, in terms of your work as a psychic and as a, I guess, a cleanser of spirits, why do they hang around, Jeffrey?
Well, in my experiences, it's more about the fact, like, I tell people you get souls that are layered, and it's probably a good example, and you find, like, if you say you have a property and you buy an old house, okay, it's just not the vibration of the fact of the old house, it's the vibration of the history that's there. And I find it to be, especially if you've had something that's happened on that property and that property wasn't cleared, and then you move into that property, it's kind of the combination of your family layering, you know, with the stuff that's gone on previously. And in most cases, it's souls that just don't realize they're dead.
Well, do you then try to teach the spirit, you're dead, get out of here?
Yeah, we try to tell them in a nice way, hey, you're not paying any rent, get out. You know, it's like time to move on. But in my experiences especially, you know, those souls, those energies just linger. And that's where you get in the idea, like people will say to me, you know what, I have all these bad things happening in my life. You know, we've had sickness, we've had different things go on since we moved in this house. Why is this happening? It's because that energy is still lingering. It's kind of like, you know, when you think of taking a bath and you don't clear, you don't clean the bathtub afterwards, and that kind of that, you know, that rub-a-dub around the tub is definitely tied into that whole spiritual thing.
The movie Poltergeist, much like what some of the things you do, trying to do that kind
of cleansing? Not as Hollywood-oriented, no. But most definitely I find it to be that, you know, Hollywood does most of the time do a pretty decent job of giving us some understanding of what happens with souls.
So many people are in this quest, Jeffrey, to find their dead ones, their friends, their loved ones who've departed. Is that doable? Should you do it in the dream state? How do you try to do that?
Well, I tell people, I am very direct. I mean, I tell people, you want a sign, you want a message, ask for one. I mean, people ask me, how do you speak to the dead? Well, you speak to the dead the same way I'm speaking to you. You have to be direct. But I think the dream state is the more doable things at times because of the fact that, you know, we're not controlling and it's more unconscious. I mean, grief, in my experiences, have been a process. And most people kind of get stuck. And I talk about in the book the idea of the three parts of grief. Most people are in, you know, denial. Most people go into the anger phase. And then it takes a long time to accept. And I don't think anybody that's lost somebody has ever said, you know what, I'm totally 100% happy that the person went on this time frame and I was ready. I mean, it really at times becomes an issue because we're not ready for that person to pass. And in my experiences, that soul knows when it's going to go.
Or can you use high technology whenever you do your work?
I mean, you know, we do some stuff with photography and we do some spirit photography, but I think it's just really, you know, the idea of getting that soul to understand that soul needs to move on.
Other predictions? How about weather changes in 2000?
Oh, I think we're going to have a really tough year with weather, and I really feel sorry for people in that regard. I think the weather changes are going to continue to be very severe. I think that, you know, we're going to get real screwed up with the weather in the sense that, you know, when we expect it to be cold, it's going to be hot. But I am very worried, you know, especially in regards to, you know, not so much the hurricane part, but more so the fact of the severe weather. And I think that's where we're going to have some real intense elements, especially. I wouldn't be shocked in the month of February that it's pretty bad for, you know, the Midwest and actually even some heavy-duty stuff with the West Coast.
Not a good time to travel, maybe.
No, it might be good to just stay home and, you know, hunker down.
The wisdom of this and the fact that you were able to pick that up, we all have this ability, I think, obviously, but we need to be trained. Some people will get it, some people won't. Why is that?
Because I think it's the level of us not trusting. I always tell people there's a fine line between intuition. You know, you go to the lower part of the stomach, that's the neurotic side, mm-hmm. and the higher part is the real set intuition part where you really have a gut feeling something's going to happen. I just don't think that people take that time to trust their gut. And I think when you look at really, really successful people like the Bill Gateses of the world and stuff like that, that's intuition. They've gone with that gut. They know that this is the direction to go and this is where they're supposed to be.
Another door opens, but how quickly does it close, Jeffrey, to people?
I think we close our own doors, and my experiences, especially with things like that, you know, it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. You put stuff out, and if you put enough negative stuff out, you know, it's going to come back in that way. And my experiences have always been that, you know, that positive energy, you can change anybody's life. I mean, a lot of my work at times with people will come to the fact that, you know, they've allowed the loss of that person to really affect their everyday life, and they're just not able to move on. And that's kind of some of my work, which is helping people have that closure.
How many haunted houses are there out there anyway? I mean, are they all over the place?
I would say every area. I mean, you know, we have those traditional places, which are where a lot of history and a lot of things have taken place.
Sure.
And then you can have other areas. I mean, look at what builders do and look what people do. You put houses up on, you know, like sacred areas or areas that really shouldn't be built upon. I mean, I get nervous, especially with the World Trade Center. You know, here we have a massive, you know, exit of a lot of souls.
Yes.
And here you are, you know, we're having a hard time debating on what we should put up. And you really have to recognize that fact that there was this tremendous tragedy that took place, and you know, you have all these souls that died, and you got to make sure that, you know, it's going to be something that those souls are going to be happy with.
It's very possible that the structures will get haunted. Nothing
would shock me, because I think it's not so much the structure, I think it's so much the fact of the event that's taken place and the fact that that energy is still lingering.
Jeffrey, the compassion, of course, for those people who have passed on. Do they feel that from you?
I think they feel it from all of us. I don't think it has to be me. I mean, you know, I would say the part of my work that's the hardest part of my work is, you know, you sit with families that have had kids that have died in car crashes or people that have died unnaturally, and that's a big part, because, you know, you feel that pain, you feel that connection. It's like, oh my God, you know, here you have this young soul. I mean, I have a group of people that I've worked with, which are moms that, you know, have babies that have to birth the babies that where the babies end up miscarrying. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible thing. But I think that's part of the life cycle. And unfortunately, you know, from a soul standpoint, sometimes the souls come in not realizing that they're coming into bodies that are damaged.
Why the tremendous interest in the afterlife? Television shows, programs like ours, programs you've been on?
I think it's funny. I think, you know, debt is big, and I think we're in an uncertain time. And when we go through uncertain times, you know, certain people don't have a lot of faith necessarily in religion, and they're looking for answers. And I think that we're in this time right now where this is opening up. I mean, I'm doing this, you know, my whole adult life, and I cannot get over, you know, how much more it's open now than, you know, when I first started doing this and stuff. You know, it was more of a taboo. And now it's much more common. You go see a psychic, you go see a medium. I mean, you got, you know, the Ghost Whisperer, and you got Jennifer Love Hewitt, you know, running around. So it's like, it's totally a time frame now where I think people need to have some sense of understanding that life just doesn't stop here.
We had a story last week about these electronic boxes put together by a guy named Frank, and they apparently try to communicate with the dead. What do you think of that?
You know what? I don't know enough about it. I know that in my experiences, if you take that 5 or 6 seconds of quiet time and you ask for a sign, you'll get that sign. It's very personal. And I think that most people are just afraid sometimes because of religion or different things, you know, to open themselves up to understand that that higher consciousness is still very much there. And then I think it's like kind of almost in a way where, you know, they feel our pain and they want to know in that aspect that, you know, they're okay.
Can we learn anything from the dead, Jeffrey?
I think we learn every day. I think that, you know, my experiences have been they'll warn us of a sense of something major that's going to happen on a global level, or they'll make us, you know, understand to heal relationships on this side. So I think it's a combination of things. I mean, you have to be careful like anything else. I tell people, I laugh when I hear mediums, you know, talk about everybody standing together and everybody's holding hands. I mean, there's different levels of the spirit world, and I think that you deal with some souls that have a tendency that can be nasty or even, you know, demonic in that sense. So you have to be careful in regards to understanding that when you do make that kind of connection, you know, how do you deal with that connection and how do you know it's real?
What is it all, Jeffrey? What's it all about, I guess?
I think it's just the progress of the soul, which is the whole element of understanding that consciousness definitely goes somewhere. And then when we do die, it just doesn't stop here.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, I also think that people, if they continue to work at their abilities, can perfect this communications ability. I think also in the dream state. It's very strong, isn't it?
Oh, I agree, and I think it's more because we don't have our blocks up. I mean, I find it very interesting, you know, you get more and more people, and I get this in my work every day. I'll get moms and dads that will call me up and say, oh, my God, you know, my 2-year-old, my 3-year-old is talking to somebody that's gone. And, you know, does that mean the kid's schizophrenic? Does that mean the kid's crazy? You know, what's going on, and why do kids have that ability to be able to make that connection? And I think it's more based on the fact that the kids aren't poisoned yet. They don't have a belief system. And I think it's easier for a departed one to make that connection with a younger person.
Is that what you tell the parents?
Yeah, I mean, I'm cautious. I mean, in the sense, I have some therapists and some psychiatrists that I work with, and I usually try to refer to make sure that there hasn't been something psychological or something, you know, psychiatric that's taken place.
Now, everything that you've done in this field, is there one thing that stands out in your life?
You know what? I learn every day. And there isn't a day with this that as much as I think I know everything, I know nothing.
Well, that's true, too. Where do you get the book, Another Door Opens?
Oh, you can get it up on Amazon.com, or you can get it through my website, and it's in every bookstore. So
we've got some news channels up in here that I monitor in case there's a breaking story that happens immediately while I'm still on the air. And the moment you were talking about other bookstores, up popped the Barnes & Noble immediately. You talk about synchronicity.
You better believe it.
it is everywhere. So what would you recommend for people who want to go ghost hunting, Jeffrey, and they want to do it for fun?
My experience is, you know what, you know, EVPs are big now. Get a digital recorder. You know, go around your house. I mean, there's certain parts of the house that are, you know, related to the fact that houses settle, and if you're in an old house, you hear cricks. But just ask and, you know, talk to your people that are there and say, look, if you're there, give me a sign, you know, give me an opportunity to see that. I mean, I think it's so great right now that, you know, you got Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi, you got the Paranormal University now that came on. I mean, I think we're in such a state right now where we want to learn about this and we want to open up to this. And I think that, you know, you just do it simple. I think that what happens in a lot of ways is that we don't do things simple.
Pictures. Everybody tries to get orbs and things like that. Have you seen anything ever?
I have a gentleman that I'm very close with, and we actually have it up on our website, and he does spirit photography. And if you want to see some real interesting spirit photography, I mean, you know what? I laugh with orbs. Orbs are so common now, and everybody that gets an orb thinks it's a spirit, and in a lot of cases, it's not. I mean, this gentleman that I'm talking about, if you go up on the website and check it out, he's gotten actual spirit manifestations on film where you can actually see faces and things of that nature. And that, to me, is what real spirit photography is about.
Another Door Opens. You know, I was going to be working on a Ouija board experiment, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I did not do it. I did not go through with it. I felt that it was going to be a portal, not because of the board, but I didn't want it to affect other people who might have been listening on the program. Did I do the right thing?
Well, I think Ouija boards especially are a lower form energy, and I think that you got to watch what you bring in. I mean, look, there's negative in the world. There's positive in the world. You know, can we control the negativity? You know, in some ways, yes, because you're opening up a door, no pun intended, that you're not necessarily going to be able to control. And I think it was a good idea based on the fact of that. I mean, I warn people, you know, don't play with Ouija boards. Don't play with things that you don't know.
How do people contact you? Through your website?
Yeah, you can go through my website, which is jeffreywands.com.
All right, Jeffrey, you stay with us. We're going to take phone calls in our final half hour here on Coast to Coast. Our guest is Jeffrey Wands. He's a psychic. He's a cleanser. He goes to haunted houses also and tries to get rid of those kinds of spirits. Again, his website is Jeffrey, let me spell it for you, JeffreyWands.com, already linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, tomorrow night, Ian Punnett fills in for me. I've got to be on a plane. I'm going to see my grandchild in St. Louis, and I'm taking a vacation day, but I'll be back on the air out of the cave and then through the holidays, sprinkling a day or two here until vacation time after the first of the year. But the holidays, of course, June is my birthday, by the way, in case any of you want to send me a present. I have no idea why I said that, because I want to talk about Christmas Eve for a moment. We're going to be live on Christmas Eve, live on Christmas night, and I hope you're part of the program. Back in a moment, we'll take calls now with Jeffrey Wands on Coast to Coast AM. Back with Jeffrey Wands. We'll take your calls. Jeffrey, you ever have a tense situation on one of your haunting hunts?
Oh, I've had stuff in, you know, like where things in the house have moved and been flung at me, knives, you name it. I mean, you know, I laugh because it can be dangerous. It's not something that I would tell people to just go out and do. But, I mean, it's not like you're dealing with Casper the Friendly Ghost all the time.
No, that doesn't. Only in dreams, right?
Exactly.
Let's go to our wild card line. Jeffrey, you're on Coast to Coast. What city are you in, Jeff?
El Paso, Texas.
Okay, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I was asking your point of view on psychic vampires and how that pertains to that psychic realm that you are involved with.
Jeffrey to Jeffrey.
I think most definitely, you know, when you're dealing with a psychic vampire, it's like dealing with a person that's negative. They have a tendency to definitely draw into that energy. It's something that I think, you know, happens on a regular basis. You know, I call them space grabbers, whatever you want to call them on that level. I mean, you know, you can work with somebody who is very much that person and come away, you know, with having a headache almost to that point. I mean, there are people that definitely steal people's energy, and I think that that's where you get the whole idea of the psychic vampire.
Exactly, and that is basically where I was going at, that they draw from without literally sucking the blood from, but just the energy.
Oh, without a doubt. It's definitely something that would be energy-oriented, and that's where you would get a headache or you would feel, you know, your body weakening. You know, it would be all part of it. But you have that in life with people that are negative, so it's all part of it.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Good morning.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my name is Bill. I'm in
Florida.
About 10 years ago, I'm a private investigator. About 10 years ago, I became involved in a murder investigation, post-conviction, appellate conviction investigation. The fellow who was convicted and executed of raping and murdering his girlfriend, we were about 98% sure that he did not do it. He was convicted on circumstantial evidence and essentially character assassination. At the time of the investigation, this was just 98 to 2000 when I was involved with it, we brought in a medium from New York, and she got some feelings from inside the house where the murder was convicted. We never were able to prove definitively that he did not do it or he did it. We know where the people are that we think did it. The lady's name, can I say the lady's name?
First name.
Sarah.
Okay.
And we're curious to know if you get any feelings, if she would be able to tell who her murderers were.
Well, how about that, Jeffrey?
That's interesting. Well, I do, you know, a lot of crime stuff and a lot of stuff with working with missing kids and things of that nature. You know, when he said that, I had an immediate impression of, you know, what I would consider to be two different people that were involved. And I definitely would have a tendency to agree with him that it definitely wasn't the person that was executed.
All right, let's go next to our first-time caller line. I've got a brand-new phone system in here, so we're rapidly trying to learn it. Go ahead, first-time caller. Hello?
Hello?
Yep, go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question for Jeffrey about poltergeist.
Sure.
I just wanted to know what insight he can offer with regard to poltergeist.
Well, my experiences with poltergeists are usually they are what I would consider to be like lower form or residual energy that's kind of stuck around, that are kind of end up usually being playful. I mean, I would say to you that 98% of the poltergeists I've come across with are not really harmful in the sense they're just more mischievous in the sense that they'll move things around, put lights on, and things of that nature. So, I mean, if you have poltergeists, I wouldn't necessarily be afraid that you have poltergeists. You know, my experiences with the poltergeists have been more so where they haven't really been harmful.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Let's go next. Wild card line. Welcome to the show. Julia, you're on the air with us.
Hi. I have a question. My mother passed away of Alzheimer's, and I wonder that when a person passes over to the other side, if that disease and confusion goes with them, and maybe that's why we can't seem to contact her?
Well, in my experiences, especially like that mom is back to her old self, so the consciousness part, most definitely is not roaming, you know, the earth in confusion still because of the fact that she had Alzheimer's. And I think a lot of it is what you guys went through in regards to watching her go through it. Your mom was such a vibrant, such a strong lady.
Yeah.
And when you said that, I mean, I had an immediate feeling right away that she's with Grandma. And there is this other male energy that's there. So I wouldn't be so concerned that you're not able to contact her. I would kind of focus on the fact of you working through the kind of guilt thing that you have with her. And you were a fantastic daughter. I wouldn't carry so much guilt with that.
Oh, thank you. Now, what is this male presence?
Now, where is the birthday that just passed? Because she's kind of making me feel like when they present flowers to me or they present, you know, a rose, they're highlighting to me that somebody in the family just had some sort of birthday anniversary.
Oh, no, my father lays a single rose. For all the time that they were together for 38 years, every Monday he gave her a red rose.
All right, well, she's highlighting that red rose, so just let you know she's there. And she's actually making a joke about her hair. So she's kind of being funny about the fact that she did get her hair fixed on that side.
Yes, I had to do her hair for the funeral.
Well, she loved it, so please know she's okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks. I'm so sorry you went through that.
But you do give people hope, Jeffrey.
Well, you know what? I try to be... nothing with this is a perfect science, and I've had experiences where certain people don't come through, and I laugh. I call them the psychoholics. I get people that come to me, and they're so insistent on hearing from a particular person, and it ends up being somebody else that you're not expecting. So, I mean, if there's a message, they're going to bring it through.
Okay, next up, let's go to first-time caller line. You are on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there. Hello? Wildcard line, you're up. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Just before my question, I want to say we are out there and they are coming. So, and now my question is, have you or your guests either had experiences with LSD? Because not other drugs, but it seems like a lot of my psychic abilities have come with the help, not through LSD, but through my...
No, I haven't.
With them.
I haven't either.
Really? Well, I thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
Seems like I think there's just something special about it, and seems like my experiences with that. And to answer your question, no, I'm not on it right now. But
well, it is an enhancer. I mean, that's why it's been used. That's why the CIA wanted to use it on people. It is an enhancer. It's just like the drink in South America.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a party drug or anything like that. I think it's something special that needs to be looked into. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, hi, this is Ed from New York.
Hi, yeah.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
I had a quick question. Has your guest ever heard of the dead passing on messages through numbers? I had a friend, real quick story. Their father had died. They knew they were dying of a terminal disease. And before they died, this woman asked her father to give her a message, if possible, after death, to give her a sign that there was an afterlife.
Sure, like a Houdini thing.
Yeah, ironically, she came to find out, she was shocked that his gravestone number in a military cemetery with 100,000 graves was her birth date of 319.
Now, that's unusual. Synchronicity, Jeffrey?
It's not uncommon. I mean, I had it recently with a client who had lost their son in Iraq, and he was into sports, and his sports number came up where he was buried in Arlington. So, I mean, you know, that is not uncommon for the dead from that standpoint. It's their way of, you know, kind of reassuring us and letting us know. So the synchronicity part of the numbers very much play a role.
Wildcard line, you're up with Jeffrey Wands and Coast to Coast. Maggie, go ahead.
Hi, Jeff and George. I wanted to ask, it's hard not to make this personal, but the question is in general terms, I noticed that after my mother died, my dad is not hanging around as much. I used to notice because he played with the cats. Are there different levels kind of in the afterlife?
Well,
Do you feel like, you know, you're less likely to have contact with someone?
No, not really, because I think that what happens is my experiences have been, especially with the husband and wife or a loved one, you know, one is waiting for the other. That doesn't mean that dad's still not around. It was just very anxious for your mom to get there and kind of read him the riot act and catch up to him and, you know, let him know what he didn't do when he was here. So yeah. I would say most definitely, you know, in that way, they are still definitely together. You got a whole group there. I mean, there was two grandmas that came through right away, and I even had a dog coming through. Because, you know, animals do have souls in spite of what people do think.
Yeah.
So, but most definitely I would say to you that, you know, in my experiences very much so, that doesn't mean that Dad moved on. It just means that Mom caught up to him.
It's good to hear that you say animals have souls, because there are some people who do not believe they do.
Oh, I don't know how anyone could believe that. Just, you know, based on the fact that you see the sensitivity with animals. I mean, we have a golden retriever, and I see when I come home with somebody that I've, you know, brought home that we don't realize, I see how, our dog responds to it. So animals definitely have souls.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, the name is Mel from Saratoga Springs.
Hello, Mel. Thanks.
Except the last caller just kind of hit on what I wanted to ask your guest. I had a horse, nice horse, race horse, who had died last March, kind of very suddenly, and we're not sure of what he died from and how. I mean, I'd like to know what his well-being is at this point, and what might be the cause.
What kind of racehorse? Thoroughbred or standard bred?
No, thoroughbred.
Thoroughbred, okay.
Yeah, well, when you said that immediately, they were showing me something that was blood-related, so I'm inclined to believe it was some sort of infection that would have gone to the heart. So I would have said most definitely you do not have to be concerned. I mean, I find it to be with animal souls, and especially in that way that, you know, nothing would surprise me about that animal coming back to you on some level or coming back in a different form to you. So I would definitely say you're not done with the horse.
We have a mare who's in foal due to drop foal in April.
Well, there you go.
I always said to my wife that she's going to give me that, replace him with a nice little colt.
Well, I think you're going to have one that's a real winner that's coming.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I miss him. He was my son.
I know the feeling. I used to have standard breds. Used to breed them in Illinois. You know that feeling.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Saratoga Springs is very big in horse racing and standard bred racing and thoroughbred racing both. So I know that connection.
What kind of thoroughbred racer was he? How was he doing? Was he a winner?
He was on the board. If he wasn't winning, he was there every time. He gave you 150%.
God, how old was he when he died?
He was 3 years old. Four, and he was just coming to his prime. I only paid $3,700 for him at auction, and he made over $100.
That's a great little buy.
We'll get ready. Yeah. Your next one's going to be pretty big.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Gentlemen, have a good day.
Okay. Well, Jeffrey, I was breeding some horses, and we had one that our trainer said, you know, it was a yearling. He had rickety legs and things, and he said he's not going to mount to anything, George. And I was just learning that facet of the industry, and I said, well, what do we do? I'm not going to sell these horses to the killers. They had the companies that would literally buy your animals and send the meat to France, and I wasn't going to do that. So he said, well, I guess I can get us $200 or $300. So he just found an Amish kid who just wanted a racehorse, wanted to train it. So the kid paid $250 to us for this horse, and within 2 years, he went on to earn $500,000.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, it's all soul-related. I think, you know, definitely when you're dealing with something like that, it's definitely soul-related that horse, you know, came in with a definite purpose, that's for sure.
Monica, first-time caller. Hi there.
Hi, George. I love your show.
Thanks, Monica.
I just wanted to give you a quick story. Several years ago, I started a new job working for a personal home. There was a head woman that managed the house that I worked under, and didn't know her very well. Well, previously, about 3 years before my grandmother had died, she came to me several times in my dreams, which I love. I had this dream one day walking through the new place that I worked at, and there was a gentleman in a brown suit sitting at a dining room table. I looked at him. I asked him, can I help you? He said, no, I'm waiting on Gloria. Well, Gloria happened to be the head housekeeper where I worked. I never saw this gentleman before. I woke up, and I must have forgot about the dream. Several days later, I dreamt about the same thing, exactly. And it just struck me that I asked him what he needed, and he said, I'm just waiting on Gloria. So I came into work the next morning, and I said to Gloria, I knew her husband had passed, and I asked her what he looked like. And, of course, did not match the gentleman that I saw. So I started to tell her about my dream, and she started to cry. And I said, Gloria, who is this person? And she said, this is my brother-in-law who passed away. And I said, well, why is he trying to contact me? And she said, I said, you know, he's waiting on you for something. She said, oh, my God, he's in an urn in my dining room china cupboard, and we haven't put him to rest yet. I said, my grandmother is bringing him through to me to tell you to bury this poor man because he needs to rest. And it was this thing has never happened before. As I said, my grandmother comes through to me on dreams, but she has never brought anyone else through. And I just thought this was so great. I just loved it. I'm very open to this. And I just wanted to tell this story.
I'd love it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, very good. They are enlightening.
Oh, definitely. And something like that especially, you know, we do have those tendencies where the souls are not resting because we didn't have that closure here, and that definitely is a perfect example of that.
Let's see if we get one or two more in. Wildcard line. Go ahead there. Jason, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hello, this is Jason in Colorado Springs.
Okay, sir.
I just had a quick question. I was wondering if you've seen anything with music having to do with the unity of consciousness and opening up minds, just anything to do with music.
Oh, I think definitely in your case, music definitely plays a very big role. And I find it to be at times that, you know, a lot of times when I get messages or I'll get things in that way, certain songs will come through from the departed. So it definitely, you know, plays a role. It's kind of like, you know, I tell people prayer on this side is kind of music for them on that side. So definitely in regards to you, music's going to play a very big role.
Okay, very good. Jeffrey, once again, thank you. Another Door Opens, your book, jeffreywands.com, is your website. Jeff, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks again, George. I really appreciate it. I
appreciate that as well. Now, all you have to do in just a few moments as well is run outside just for a little bit, look toward the east for the Geminids. They're supposed to be spectacular tonight. Matter of fact, one fast blast said, George, I saw 15 within a two-minute period. That would be exciting. So go outside and take a look at that. And it's always nice to witness some kind of celestial event. And I hope you have clear skies in order to do all of this. I'll be back on Monday out of the cave in St. Louis. Ian Punnett's going to do the program for me tomorrow night. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we shall see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.